Want your input on the service, and we hope you'll come back and join us. Thanks for coming. All right, well, let's continue to worship God tonight with an opportunity to sow financially into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's look at some scriptures together. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. I don't know, this scripture is on my heart just about the beginning of every year, and so let's read this together. He says this, "Will a man rob God?" Now, what's the answer? Does anyone know the answer to that? Would you, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to pull out a gun and stick up God? I mean, come on. All right. You're going to lose, I think. Okay. He, like, blow your gun out. You know, capped, yeah. He says, "But you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Now, listen to this, verse 9. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now, how many know the United States of America? I love this country with all of my heart, but we got problems. You know, any nation does, but we have problems financially. I mean, we have not honored God. You know, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but taking prayer out of schools, taking God out of schools. I can remember, I was just talking to someone the other day. I'm going to be 55 years old here in a month or so. And I can remember, I know I don't look that old, but you know. And so I feel a whole lot younger, that's for sure, most days. And so, but I remember I went to a public school. And even in a public school, they thought nothing of praying, thought nothing of mentioning God. And things have changed so much, but you wonder why we have financial problems. I want to tell you, really, really, it has a lot to do with us robbing God. And as we start out here, I want to encourage us, don't rob God this year. Because here's the thing, we're in an economy, you can't trust this economy. How many know that? And if you think you can, you can't really trust any economy, really. That your trust should be in God. God is the one who gives it all anyway. And so why would you want to cut him off? So as we start 2014 together, let me encourage you, don't rob God. Say, how can I do that? Give the tithe. People say, well, what does a tithe mean? 10%. That's what it means. All right? I think it's a good start. We are not under the law. We don't get legalistic with it. The Bible says you should give joyfully. But you need to do something. You need to get started. And tapping in to the really kingdom of heaven financially is in tithes and offerings. Verse 10, he says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you," say for me, "the windows of heaven, and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Listen, when we tap into the kingdom of heaven, no matter what happens in this economy, we are tapping in to God's resources. And God is opening up the windows of heaven, giving us ideas, pouring creativity into our lives, taking care of us, providing for us. And listen, as we start this year off together, make a commitment to honor God, to not rob God, to give him the tithe, to give him an offering, and to be a blessing. And God will bless you in return. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity tonight to sow financially. We bring the tithe and the offerings into your house, providing meat in this house. And we thank you, Lord, that you're opening up the windows of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. If you didn't come prepared to give tonight, you can certainly give online. Real easy to do. You can go to our website. Just click on the donate button. It'll take you to a page. You fill that all out. It doesn't cost you anything. We pay for that service, so check it out. So many of you are already doing that, and you can certainly give that way if you want to. All kinds of things going on in church. Mobile food pantry, of course, next Tuesday. Sign up for that. All church fast is going to be starting this Sunday. We're calling it Fast Forward this year. Don't worry, if you want to start Sunday, you can. You can start Sunday afternoon. Listen, our fasts are not legalistic. We're taking 21 days. We're going to, as a matter of fact, here's how unlegalistic it is. We're ending it so that you can pig out on Super Bowl Sunday. That's for me, but you get to enjoy it, you know. But we're starting at Sunday. You can join if you want. But we're going to give you some tips and some ideas and things. And really, when we fast to the Lord, listen, we are not twisting God's arm. That's not what fasting is. What we're doing is we are committing ourselves to live for God, all right? And so we'll be talking more about that, kicking it off this Sunday. So we'll give you lots of information. There's already information on the website. Check it out. You'll see right on the front page, there's a slide there that says Fast Forward. You can click on that. It'll give you some interesting things, help you out on your fast. Also, we've got some new things. We're calling them testimony cards or my story cards. And what we'd like you to do, you got a way that God moved in your life. We want to hear that. We invested in some new cameras and some new editing things, and we want to get your story out. And so if you have something, we can't use everybody's story, but we'll keep a file of it. And so we really want your stories. Fill out the card. It's called My Story. Just put it on there, and you'll get to get in front of a camera and smile and look real pretty. Well, some of you will look real pretty. But we want to hear your story. And so, you know, it will encourage people, your testimony. And so let us know. Fill out the card. We'll get a hold of you. Say, my story is his story. All right. I'm sticking to it. That's right. Well, tonight we're going to continue our series we started a couple weeks ago. Of course, last Wednesday was our New Year's Day celebration together. We had a great time in worship. And how many were here Sunday? Second service in particular. Second service, I'll tell you what, we had like family praise gathering. We had the how many remember the soul train? We had the Holy Ghost train. You know, it was awesome, but just worshiping God, we just had a great time. But I want to continue our series that we started a couple weeks ago. And I want to encourage you as we start 2014 to believe God to live a limitless life in 2014. And really, you know, you're going to find out as we get more and more through this series, and certainly tonight, living a limitless life is not about how much money you have in the bank. It's not about how many things you have. Of course, I believe the Lord wants to bless us. I believe we need to believe God for increase. But listen, living a limitless life, you've got to believe and take the limits off of God before you start to really prosper in every area. And the Bible tells us, as we were looking at healing a couple weeks ago, that God wants us to prosper spirit, soul, and body. And so prosperity is not just about money. Prosperity starts in the spirit, the soul, and then moves on out into our body. And so limitless. Even though God has great things for our future, I think sometimes we limit God. In fact, Psalm 78:41, we're not going to turn there, but it says that the children of Israel limited God. They limited God. And then talking of the Jewish people who were in the desert for 40 years, how they limited God. And you and I can limit God. See, I don't think the problem is a supply problem. The problem is we need to increase our capacity or containers to believe. It's not that God doesn't have enough of the kingdom of heaven for us. It's the fact that we're not increasing our capacity to receive more. We need to enlarge our vision. We need to reach for new things. And God wants to do some things in our lives here in 2014. And really, increasing our capacity to receive is about changing the way you think. Changing the way you and I think. Instead of expecting this year to be a year of lack, we need to believe God for increase. I mean, don't say things like, this year is going to be tough. Oh, it's so cold out. And I know it is. And I'm guilty of that one, by the way. I ain't perfect. But the thing is, you know, don't say this is going to be a rotten year. Don't say that things are not going to work out. Don't say I'm not going to meet my goals. Don't start the year like that. Believe God for increase. Believe God that this year is going to be your best year ever. Stop saying things like that. Start to believe for explosive blessings. Start to believe for prosperity. Believe for a promotion. Believe for a new job. Believe God to be debt-free. Every time you write that, if you have a mortgage on your home, every time you write that mortgage check, you say, Lord, I thank you. This mortgage is paid in full. You believe God to pay that thing off and get out of debt. Believe God to increase your influence. Start inviting more people to church. Start reaching out to your neighbors and praying for them and maybe taking some soup over to them on a cold day. Come on, somebody. I don't have my bracelet on tonight, but you got to get your bracelet so you can reach out. How many know we got Mission Mondays around here? You got to get out and reach out to somebody and believe God to live a life that is limitless. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. He says, now him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. See, this is for generation after generation after generation. You and I should believe God for him to do exceedingly abundantly things in our lives. Mark 2:22, Jesus said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, Sunday, we talked quite a bit about this. And the thing is, as we start a year, you and I have got to believe God so that we don't think the same way we used to think. Come on, somebody. I mean, man, we got to do better than just for a couple of weeks. This needs to be a commitment that we say, God, for the rest of this year, I am going to think differently. I am going to start to think like God. Now, I know some of you, you're sitting here and you're thinking, right, Pastor Tony, you don't know my life. Right. There's the problem, your attitude. You are saying, my life is so bad, God cannot move in my life. That's what you're saying. Understand what you're saying. You are limiting God when you say, yeah, right, Pastor. You are allowing the devil to convince you that God doesn't love you. You are allowing the devil to convince you that, yeah, this works for everybody else, but not for me. You are allowing your circumstances to drag you down. And if you don't quit, you're going to have the same year this year. And in fact, your year will be worse. I'll just help you out. That's what you'll get. But that's not what I want for you. That's not what God wants for you. You have got to get a new wineskin this year so that when God pours out into your life, you don't burst and leak all over the place. Come on, somebody. You need to be able to hold that new wine. You need to be able to live a year where God uses you to reach out in new ways to the people you come in contact with. You need to start thinking differently. You and I need to have a bigger vision for our lives. This year, I'm so excited. We're going to be helping students this year get some books and some other items. We're going to be helping underprivileged children as well as homeless children this year. And I just talked to DHS this week. How many remember last spring when we put together all the cribs and all those things and took it out? They've already used all that stuff up. They want more help. So we're working on that. We're going to be doing that this year. We're going to be doing something through the summer. We're just going to have family movies out here on the lawn all summer long. It's going to be free, and people can come and just hang out with their families and stuff like that. And we got some things we're going to be doing. We'll tell you more and more about that. But, you know, God is just doing some fantastic things. God has given us an opportunity to be able to get in not only to the local jail here, but also the prison in the area with our Celebrate Recovery. We're so excited about it, being able to get in there. Just so many different things that are going on. But you and I have got to get bigger visions for our personal lives as well. We've got to make up our minds. And don't let our mind talk us out of it. Don't let circumstance dictate what we can or cannot do. God is still in control. Matter of fact, say that. Say, God is still in control of my life. And you need to believe that. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. How many think Jesus is a liar? That's good, nobody. Jesus said this. It's true, all right? It's true. What comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And you and I can change that. What comes out of your mouth is what you produce. If we think and speak lack, then we get lack. If we think and speak abundance, then that's what we get. Now, I'm not telling you that you're never going to have another opportunity. Excuse me. I'm not telling you that you're never going to have... Oh, yeah, you drink water. That is a noisy bottle right there. All right. I'm not telling you that every problem in your life is just going to fizzle away. But when you speak negative things, you make it worse. When you say, I'll never get out of it, it's just going to keep getting worse. It's just going to keep getting worse. You and I have got to think and speak abundance regardless of our current state of affairs. Limitless is a state of living, not an amount of goods. You've got to live limitless before you start to see physical increase in your life. You have to. Remember Paul the Apostle said, I know how to have a little, I know how to have a lot, but it's Christ who strengthens me. That's really the key to limitless living, taking the limit off what God can do in our lives. We need to live thankful, content lives. I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I'm not talking about being content. Too many people are content with just where they are. Well, you know, it's just I'm kind of comfortable. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living in a contentment that you get with your relationship with God. Because if you don't have a strong relationship with God, you will not think limitless thoughts. And you won't live a limitless life. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is the limitless life. Paul was able to reach others for the gospel in every circumstance because he realized that it was not him living, but Christ living in him. And that is really the key. We've got to believe that Christ is living in us. And I know that's a challenge. I mean, Just take a look at your life, okay? Take a look at yourself. Sometimes it's like, boy, I can't believe. You just need to get over that. You need to get over yourself and believe that God is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure, giving you the desire and the power to do the things that please him and start to get on track with your life. A life full of Christ is a life of abundance without limits. A life of abundance reaches out to other people. See, when you start to think limitless, you start to think, how many ways can I reach out to other people? How many ways can I be a blessing? God, I'm believing you this year that I'm going to have more influence. I'm going to have more money. I'm going to have more of everything that I need to reach out and to touch more lives. A life of lack is consumed with self-preservation. When you always are in lack, please hear me. You're thinking about, well, who can take care of me this time? Well, who's going to bail me out this time? Not the government, all right? Now, I'm all for some of the government programs if you need some help. I'm not saying that. But if you're looking constantly to other people, you are living a life of lack. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes we all need some help sometimes. I'm going to know that. We just do. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're constantly looking who's going to take care of you or thinking nothing ever works out for me, you are living in a self-preservation mode, and you cannot live a limitless life. You will always be under the control of your thinking, and you will always be really regulated by the things that people can and cannot give you or help you with. And that is not how God wants you to live. A limitless life of abundance is full and content, meeting the needs of others and believing God for more. I want to read that again. A limitless life of abundance is full and content, meeting the needs of others and believing God for more. See, when you're content and you know that God is limitless, living on the inside of you, and I don't need any more, I'm just taken care of, but I'm believing God for more, that's when you start to live a limitless life where you can believe God for more because you know you don't want it for yourself. And until we change that self-preservation mode, all we're going to be doing is saying, okay, Pastor Tony said I can believe for more, and we'll believe for more, and when we don't get a raise next week, we quit. Awful quiet in here. Living with a vision, living with a purpose, that's really limitless living, all right? Living a limitless life with a vision, with a purpose. As we kick off this fast on Sunday, we're going to encourage you to write some things down, to pray, to read your Bibles, to write things down, to start to hear the voice of God. Again, we're not twisting God's arm. What we're doing when we fast, and you're going to learn probably some things about fasting you've never heard before. You don't fast just to beat yourself up. Now, that's part of it. You need to discipline your flesh. But you are fasting, learning how to get into a zone where you hear the voice of God, where you can live content, where food and drink and those kinds of things do not have so much control over you that you have a hard time hearing the voice of God. So it's not something, well, I fasted, I'm done, thank God, get me a cheeseburger. That's not what fasting is. You might as well just not even fast. We're learning. Rough crowd tonight. All right. But we're learning to really get into a zone, and we'll talk more Sunday. I'm just giving you a little teaser here, if you will. Into a zone where we start to learn now to live a fasted life where I don't eat too much of anything so that I'm satisfied with the presence of God, but then I learn how to eat to be able to meet my needs physically. But it doesn't hinder me hearing God's voice. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy it or pig out once in a while. That's not what I'm saying. But learning how to hear God's voice, not, boy, I got that fast done. That's it now. God, now move. No, that's not what fasting is. Fasting is living a limitless life because we're allowing a limitless God to communicate with us on every level of our being. Does that make sense to you? And that's really what we're talking about tonight as well. You and I have got to change our attitude. Matter of fact, I don't know how many of you know Joel Osteen. He's got just a tiny little church out west. My goodness. If I looked like him, I'd probably have a big church too. God wants you to have your best life ever. Nah, it didn't work. He does it a lot better. But he just came out with a new book titled Breakout. And he made this statement, and it's a simple statement, but I love it. He says, God, I'm ready. I'm taking the limits off of you. I'm enlarging my vision. I may not see a way, but I know you have a way. Doesn't that sound like Joel? That is such a good confession. I may not see a way. I'm taking the limits off of you, God, and I know that you have a way to meet my needs no matter what. You and I have got to change our attitudes if we're going to live a limitless life. Don't say I can't. Don't say God can't. Don't say they won't. believe God for increase. We've got to stop thinking that the cards are stacked against us. We've got to stop thinking that we'll always be living a life of lack. You and I have got to stop thinking that the favor of God is only for someone else. You've got to believe that you are God's favorite. You've got to stop thinking that you don't deserve it. God wants to bless you. Say, God wants to bless me. Say that again. Say, God wants to bless me. Now, some of you probably thought, boy, I think that's blasphemy. There's the problem. You don't believe that God wants to help you. You don't believe that God wants to increase you. There's a story in Genesis chapter 48 about the time, you remember Jacob, you remember Joseph, how his brothers sold him into slavery. And his father Jacob, of course, Joseph was his favorite. And you remember the coat of many colors. And he goes and he's sold a couple of times, finally ends up living under Pharaoh's rule and is given leadership under Pharaoh. And of course, gets thrown into prison, but God promotes him back up. And now he's second in command in the Egyptian nation. And what's happened is now God has brought Jacob and Joseph's other brothers back together because they were storing up grain and everyone had to come to get the food. And so God brings them back together. And it's about time for Jacob to die. And so Jacob wants to see his grandsons. And so Joseph brings his grandsons out for Jacob to bless before he dies. And understand, the blessing of the father and grandfather in a Jewish tradition is so important. We don't really know it so much in our society. But, you know, be a good parent. Speak life into your children. You know, there's times you got to correct and all that. There's something, and I'm not the perfect father. You ask any of my kids, I blow it. I say things I shouldn't say, but I'm real quick to say I'm sorry. They know that. But it's something we do I write notes all the time, but every Christmas. And this year, I just kind of got out of sync. I remember we got together Christmas Eve, and first one to say something was my daughter, Selena. She said, "Where are the cards?" I always put cards on the tree. And in that card, I put something special about this last year, just something simple. And I said, "No, you'll get that next week." I kind of bailed myself out with, you ever tell a white lie? I asked God to forgive me first, and then I told it? Okay. No, I just said, you know what? I didn't get around to doing it, but I said, but we got that get-together coming up Sunday, and I'll have them. And it was just something simple that I put in that card that just said, I'm proud of you because you did this year. And it's simple, but I'll tell you, you ask any one of them, and I guarantee you, they don't throw those away. They don't. I know they don't. They keep them. And someday when I'm dead and gone, no, okay. No. But you see, those kind of things are things that make a difference. But that's what you see. There's a blessing of the Father. So it was very, very important what was going on here. Read with me in Genesis 48, verse 12. It says, "So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh was with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn." He did it the opposite way as what's going on here, okay? The blessing should have come on the oldest for his right hand, all right? "Now when Joseph saw his father laid his right hand on Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, 'Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head.'" Verse 19. "But his father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations.'" And of course, this is really something prophetic, speaking of really the time of the Gentiles, you and I being brought in. Understand, we were grafted into the Jewish nation. I don't have time to get into all that tonight, but understand that's the prophetic blessing here, that speaking of the time of the Gentiles, the blessing that will come on you and I. But the thing I want us to get tonight is God mixes things up once in a while. You and I have got to stop thinking that it's not my turn to be blessed. You and I have got to believe God for supernatural favor. We have got to believe God that we're getting blessed for something we don't earn, something we don't deserve. This speaks so much of grace because the latter will be first. And see, Jesus came and he stirred things up. Grace will stir things up. It really sets you and I up to be blessed. And a matter of fact, Ephesians 1:3, it says that Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every, say every, spiritual blessing. And so what has happened is every blessing, every good thing you can imagine that God would have towards anybody, any good thought, comes to you and I. You may not have the right background. You may not have the right education. You may feel like you've never gotten the right breaks, but you have got to stop settling for being second place. You've got to start to believe you're God's favorite. You've got to believe that if you get on God's Facebook, that you're the first picture there in the photo album. Come on. You got to, matter of fact, you got to believe that in God's Facebook, you're the only pictures on that photo album. I mean, really? It's time to message God once in a while. Sometimes we spend more time on Facebook, and some of you may not Facebook, I understand. But when was the last time we just spent time in God's presence, just loving him for who he was, who he is, just enjoying him? That's the key to limitless living. That's the key. If you allow other things to keep you from enjoying that, you will always live a life of lack. You will always think I'm second best. You will always think that things are not going to work out because it's the presence of God that allows us to think limitless thoughts. Deuteronomy 6:10, it says, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build." Doesn't that speak of grace? This is not something you work for. It's just something God is giving you and I. Verse 11, "Houses full," say full, "of good things." Not only good things, but all good things, which you did not fill. Hewn out wells, which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. Listen to this. "And when you have eaten and you're full," come on, somebody, it's not good enough. God wants you to eat and be full, to be satisfied. "Then beware lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." A place of good things, a place of abundance, a place where you and I are full and satisfied, not something we earn, not something that we deserve. It's a place of limitless increase. "Pastor Bob, was this the night I was supposed to try and shorten my messages?" I thought it was next week. Okay, Exodus 34, verse 10. I'm going to try. This is, I want to finish these thoughts. It'll help us. Exodus 34:10. "Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you." How many know, you know, awesome is a word a lot of people use, but if God uses awesome, it's awesome. I mean, really, God wants to bless your socks off. Really, not just a trickle, but a flood, I think, of favor, ideas, blessings. I want to get to one thing here. You'll have to just, I'll give you some places to go back there, Zach. I'm going to go out of order here for just a moment. God has given us the victory through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, you and I have got to believe that. But many of us don't live a limitless life because we focus on the things we don't have. We think things will never get any better. Let me just call that discontentment. So many of us live lives that are full of discontent. And we just dwell on it, and we dwell on it, and we dwell on it. We just think things won't get better. When our focus is on God, I think that's really living a life that's full of passion for God. We're going to talk more about passion this Sunday when we kick off the fast. But a passion-filled life, passion for God, will lead to increase. Discontentment will cause you and I to focus on other things and will always lead to spiritual poverty. Always. If you have a discontent life, it will cause you to focus on everything you think you need. We've said before, the thing you think you need is not what you need. And as long as you think that's what you need, you won't get what you really do need. And what you need is you need the presence of God, the limitless presence of God in your life. I know I sound like a broken record, but we got to get this because life is full of challenges. Anybody ever figure that out? Because what ends up happening, if we live in a discontent state of mind, we become spiritually dull. And we don't have time to turn there, but Jesus, how many remember there's a teaching, you can read it on your own, in Mark chapter 4, he talks about, it's the parable of the sower. How many are familiar with that? You take a look at that, and really what we see there is Jesus talks about three types of ground that bear no fruit, and then the fourth type, which bears different amounts of fruit. So what ends up happening is only 25% of people who even hear the word of God get any kind of a harvest, and then the ultimate harvest only comes to a little more than 8% of people. But before he tells that story, before he tells that parable, he quotes something out of Isaiah 6:10 where he talks about how the ears of these people have grown dull. Listen, if you're in a state of discontentment, if your spiritual ears have grown dull to the principles of God's word, you will not have a harvest in your life. And that's why Jesus went on and he told that parable. He's talking about the religious Pharisees of his time, how they were dull without understanding. And then he said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he tells that parable. If you want increase, you must be in a state of contentment, looking to God, believing him for limitless increase. And I know you may be sitting here tonight and you're thinking, but Pastor, not in my situation. I disagree with you completely. I don't think there's any situation. You look at story after story in the Bible, not to mention current stories of people that God has gotten out of things that you would not believe and turn their lives around. So it's not over. It is not over until God says it's over, and it's not over until the very end. And so you and I have got to believe God for limitless increase in our lives. Contentment, listen carefully. Contentment focuses on God and his promises. Discontentment focuses on other things. That's carnal living. We've talked about that before. The Bible will say some of you are carnal, so I can't even tell you anything more than this. Paul says that once in a while. When we're carnal, we don't even understand spiritual truth. You're sitting here tonight, and I'm saying this, and you may not get it completely, but if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, it's because you're carnal. I'm not putting you down. I'm just stating the facts. You don't understand spiritual matters. You don't believe that God is strong enough to get you out of your situation. You're trying to take care of yourself. You're living in self-preservation mode. You're looking for somebody to do something that will meet an immediate need, and meeting an immediate need will never fix the problem, and you will never live a limitless life. So many times people, when you help them with benevolence, they think, well, I just need one more dollar. I just need one more gas card. I just need one. No, you don't. At some point, we need to say, done. Because you've got to stop thinking poverty thoughts, living carnal lives. 1 Timothy 6:6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. What's he saying? Don't focus on things. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich or focus on things fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. What ends up happening when you focus on things, you live a life that's carnal, full of lust, thinking, well, if I just get this, it'll answer my... That's the answer to my problem. No, it's not. Please hear me. If you are going to grow spiritually, you cannot live this way. It will drown you, and it says you'll be drowned in destruction and perdition. Contentment or thankfulness and godliness will always bring gain. Always. When we're not content or not thankful, we become spiritually stagnant and out of focus. It's time to awaken our passion or love for God. It's time to believe God for a breakthrough. And that starts with you taking the limits off God by spending time in his presence, by getting a hold of God with every fiber that's in you. And you may be sitting here saying, but Pastor, I've done that. I've done that, Pastor. Not long enough. Not deep enough. Because I'm going to tell you, the Word of God works. God works miracles. And as long as we look at our problem, we will never, ever get the correct answer. Romans 12, 11, he says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Have I lost my spiritual favor? Have I lost the joy of the Lord? Have I forgotten my first love? Because, listen, if you are full of the limitless love of God, I don't care what's going on in our life, you will not be budged. You will not be moved. And your life could have some rotten stuff going on in it. I said, I made a statement on my Twitter. I'm going to end with this. Just this week, and I got quite a few comments and likes on it. I said this. Have I merely added God to my life, or has he become my life? If you don't know there's a difference, you've only added him. If he's not the source of your life, I'm not saying all your problems go away. I'm not saying that when you start thinking limitless thoughts, that there's not going to be an opportunity. But God is not something to be added to our lives. God is the source of our life. And until we start to get that, every problem, and we could be facing problems for years. I understand that. Please, please, don't think I don't understand your problem. Don't think God doesn't understand your problem. But the solution is exactly what we're talking about tonight. We have got to believe that God has a place for me in his presence that I can live a limitless life. And no matter what is or isn't changing in my life today, I know that I can take the limits off God and things are going to change down the road because they've already changed on the inside of me. Does that make sense to you? I got to stop tonight because I went too long. We got to stop there. Close your eyes. Father, I thank you for the Word of God that has been sown in these good hearts tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to seal that Word. You're here tonight and you're saying, you know what, I need to amp it up. I need to deepen my relationship with Christ. Would you lift your hand? Thank you so much for your honesty. That's something we should be doing every day, by the way. Matter of fact, my guess is most of the people that lifted their hands are already doing this. Some that didn't lift their hands because they were embarrassed, and you're not doing it at all. There, I said it. So I'm going to ask again, how many want to deepen their relationship? How many are just happy where they are and they don't want to change anything? Just ask it that way. Nobody lifted their hands for that, so everyone should have lifted their hands on the first one. I'm trying to help you tonight. You ain't all that in a bag of potato chips. But in God, you don't need the potato chips. Come on, somebody. Father, I just ask you to deepen our relationship with you as we pursue you, as we run after you. Fill us to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Please come out this weekend. I can't say it enough. God is doing some marvelous things in Traverse City and in Resurrection Life Church. Real people, real life, real God. And this Sunday is going to be off the hook, if they still say that anymore. I don't know. God bless you. Have a great week.